Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus' miracle, his sign, was recorded for us. And we pray that as we look at it in more detail, that you would help us to understand, that you would help us to see Jesus' glory, and you would help us to believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How much evidence do you need to be able to believe someone? At the moment at home, we're watching a TV show called White Collar. And the premise of the show is a con man, Neil, works with Peter, who's an FBI agent. It's an interesting twist on the crime detective genre. And one of the questions that comes up nearly every single episode is whether the FBI agent Peter should trust the con man, Neil. And it turns out, sometimes he can trust the con man, sometimes he shouldn't. But how does the FBI agent, Peter, make his decisions about whether to trust the con man? Well, sometimes it's based on previous experience. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's actually just based on a hunch, a feeling, a spur of the moment, this is going to work out okay. How much evidence do you need to believe in someone, to trust someone? As we think about Jesus, how much evidence do you need to believe in Jesus? How do we make a decision to believe in Jesus? Do we need to be like the FBI agent Peter and just base it on a hunch, a feeling, a spur of the moment decision? Or can we be more certain? Well, today in the Gospel of John, we'll see what it looks like to believe in Jesus. And we'll see that we need to believe in Jesus as we look at the second sign. And the way that we're going to look at this second sign in the Gospel of John, it'd be good if you had John chapter 4 from verse 33 open, is we're going to look at the setting, the sign, and the significance. Three S's: setting, sign, and significance. First, the setting. Last week, we saw the first of Jesus' signs. He turned water into wine. And the result was is that some of the disciples believed in him. And we heard last week how the turning the water into wine is just a taster of what is to come with Jesus' glory in his death and resurrection. Now, since that moment, Jesus has cleared out the temple. He's met Nicodemus in the middle of the night in John chapter 3 and the lady at the well in John chapter 4. And Jesus has been speaking about himself and the need to believe in him for eternal life. And in chapter 4, verse 33, where we pick up, Jesus makes his way to Galilee. Nazareth, this is where Jesus grew up. This is his hometown. And we learn in verse 44 that a prophet has no honor in his home country. This little statement, it creates in us an expectation of unbelief in Jesus, of Jesus not being honored, of Jesus not being glorified. Nonetheless, when Jesus gets there, he's welcomed in verse 45 because the crowds had seen what Jesus did when he was in Jerusalem. And it's recorded for us in John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Now, while he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Then we learned that Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Verse 46 then draws our attention back to the first sign, the water into wine. And it happened in Cana. Once again, Jesus' hometown, where Jesus now is. And what John, the author of the gospel, is artfully reminding us of is that the people around Jesus, the crowds who are following Jesus, they have seen signs. They have seen multiple miracles already. In fact, they have every reason to believe in Jesus. And then in verse 46, we meet most likely a non-Jew. A rich Roman, a royal official, a man with servants, a man with position. And in verse 46, his son lay sick in Capernaum. Now, this is 30 kilometers away from where Jesus is. And this son, we learn in verse 47, is close to death. And this royal official, he comes to Jesus. In verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. It's a plea from a father who wants his son to live. And I think this is probably one of those situations that unless you've been in it yourself, it's really quite hard to understand the intensity of the emotion that this man must be feeling. I haven't been there. I can only imagine the pain, the longing for the son to get better. I've known people whose kids have been sick. One of my friend's kids many years ago had cancer, and the emotion and the pain, the longing and the prayer for that kid to get better, it's intense. Well, think the royal official with his son close to death. And this royal official likely walked 30 kilometers to go and see Jesus. It wasn't an appointment of convenience, but of intention. It's like when we go and visit our family in Wollongong, New South Wales. It is not convenient. It's a drive to Darwin, a red-eye flight to Sydney, followed by a 90-minute drive from the airport down to Wollongong. There's nothing convenient about it, but it is intentional. So the royal official. He has heard where Jesus is, and he's intentionally come to see Jesus. And he doesn't come to Jesus for medical information. He doesn't come to Jesus for Jesus to give him the latest and greatest medical advice. He's not coming to Jesus to enroll his son in an experimental treatment on the cutting edge of research. No, he comes to Jesus with the intention that Jesus come back with him 30 kilometers and heal his son. The royal official comes to Jesus and asks him to do something that only God can do. The royal official is showing great belief. This is the setting for the second sign. Now, what would you expect Jesus to say to this royal official? Well, we come to our second point, the sign. See what Jesus says? It comes as a bit of a surprise that there is something about Jesus' words that make us sit up and say, did Jesus really say that? Verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. That is Jesus' response to the important royal official who is emotionally exhausted, tired from a day's walk, worried and anxious about his son who is sick and near death. The royal official who has come to Jesus and asked him to do something that only God could do. And the first thing Jesus actually says addresses the unbelief in the crowds around him. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. But here's the thing, the crowds have seen signs. They have seen wonders, but they're still in unbelief. They want Jesus to do more. The taste of water into wine wasn't enough. The healings and miracles they saw in Jerusalem wasn't enough. They want more and more, and Jesus knows this. And there are some people who are like that today. They seek Jesus, but they want more evidence, more signs, more reason to believe in Jesus. Well, that is the people of Cana. They're hard of heart and full of unbelief. It's like when a member of a jury, before the trial, is convinced someone is guilty. And then they go into the trial, and then they're presented piece of evidence after piece of evidence after piece of evidence that the person, in fact, is not guilty, overwhelmingly not guilty. But they don't change their mind. They still just want that one extra piece of evidence. Now, Christianity is not blind faith. But a point comes when you do have to decide to believe in Jesus. The people of Cana don't yet believe. Even though they've seen the signs, they've seen the evidence. They want signs and wonders. Now, the royal official, he is persistent. Verse 49, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He knows Jesus can do something. "Come, Jesus, come now. 30 ways is a long way to travel, but come." But Jesus doesn't come. Instead, he tells the royal official, verse 50, "Go. Your son will live." Now, do Jesus' words really have the power to heal a specific sick boy over 30 kilometers away? The crowds, they would have heard Jesus' response and wondered. But to witness this particular sign of Jesus, they would have had to go with the royal official. To them, it remains a hidden sign. But the royal official, he obeys. Verse 50, "The man took Jesus at his word and departed." He believed Jesus. Now, unbelief at this point would have sought out reassurances, asked, "Jesus, are you sure? How can I know? Show me some proof." That's what the Jews wanted in Cana, didn't they? They wanted signs and wonders. He could have said, "No, Jesus, you need to come." But no, that's not what the royal official does. In this verse, what does he do? He takes Jesus at his word and departs. And he starts to make his trip home. And then we see in verse 51, "While the man was still on his way home, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living." A sick child near death, healed by Jesus' words over 30 kilometers away. And we know that it was because of Jesus' words, because in verse 52, when the royal official inquired as to the time his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him." And then in verse 53, the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." Jesus does something that only the Son of God could do. He speaks and he heals. And all those seeking a sign in Cana can't see it. But this household of their royal officials, his family, his servants, know it, and they believe in Jesus. We're told that when they were made aware of Jesus' words and the timing of Jesus' words, the whole household believed. They believed in Jesus because of the sign. See, Jesus' words match reality. Jesus is powerful. Jesus doesn't just say things for fun, just to grab people's attention or to make a headline. What Jesus says is real. And it's really very important because Jesus says some very weighty, eternally important things about life, eternity, judgment, about himself. Take his words in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 5, verse 24. "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life." Jesus' words are to be taken seriously. And if Jesus says the Son will live, the Son will live. And Jesus is showing that he's not an ordinary man. He's actually showing that he is come from God. He's God in the flesh doing things that only God can do. So now we've seen the setting, we've seen the sign. What is the significance? Well, this is the second sign Jesus performs after coming from Judea to Galilee, the second of seven. And if we understand this sign, we need to understand the why of this sign. Simon Sinek, he's written a popular book called Start With Why. And it's a good place to start. Why does Jesus do this sign? Why does Jesus do this sign so that the crowds who are wanting to see signs and wonders can't see it? Well, John gives us his answer. It's in chapter 20, verse 31. It says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah," that is a word for meaning God's King, "the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This sign is here recorded for us so that we would believe in Jesus, so that like the royal official, we would take Jesus at his word, that we would have life. Jesus gives life. He shows us in this passage that he can give life. He can, from a distance, bring a child back from the brink of death. But Jesus is actually offering us so much more than just life in this world. Jesus is offering us eternal life. For our market stall that we're running in a couple of weeks, I've got this banner, which I hung up this morning so you could all see it. And on that banner, I put the words, Jesus' words, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus brings life, eternal life. And the way Jesus brings life is by actually giving up his own life on the cross in our place for our sin. And in the Bible, sin, which is us turning away from God, leads to death. See, death is a curse, a judgment from God because of our sin, which means that every human will die. Physically, we will die, but also spiritually. It means that sin means that we are separated from God, what is called the second death. But Jesus will die on the cross for our sins in the Gospel of John. And then 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. And if we believe in him, we will get to share in that life forever. We can take Jesus at his word. Now, the official son would physically live. That's amazing. And Jesus deserves the praise and the glory for that. But the official son would die again. But the household who believed in Jesus, they all now have eternal life, and we can have that eternal life too. Now, it's possible for us here this morning to be like the signs and wonders crowd in Cana. I follow Jesus because we can see that there's something about him, something that attracts us to him, but never make that step into actually believing in Jesus. Never take him at his word. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been exploring Christianity for a little while. Possibly you've been coming to church, maybe even for a long while. You like hearing about Jesus. There's something that about him that draws you to him. But you're not ready to make that step of believing in Jesus. You want to see more. Can I encourage you to see this sign here that Jesus does? It is here so that we would believe in him, so that we would trust him for eternal life. Maybe you know someone like this, who wants more evidence, maybe someone in your family. And if you might have the opportunity, you might want to ask them, what evidence are they waiting for? And encourage them to look at the significance of Jesus. Because as Jesus highlights here, looking for signs and wonders can actually just be a cover for our unbelief, for not being willing to take Jesus at his word. So instead of being sign and wonders people like the people in Cana, we need to believe Jesus like the royal official does, like his household does. The sign of the healing shows us Jesus' power, shows us he exercises a power only God has, and it points us to the death and resurrection, which only Jesus did, and we can trust him. We have the signs, we have the evidence. Christianity is not a blind faith. We're not Indiana Jones on the reaching out for the Holy Grail, having to take that a step, not knowing if there's going to be anything there to hold him up when he goes over the ledge. No. Christianity is an evidence-based faith, based in history, based in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We can look at the evidence. We can trust the evidence. But we can't stop there. We actually have to believe in Jesus. And when someone turns and believes in Jesus, they have life. Angels rejoice in heaven because death no longer has power over them. The miracle of the church here this morning is that we are a bunch of people who believe in Jesus, who have eternal life. When we do the outdoor service in 3 weeks' time, the greatest miracle we could witness would be people placing their faith and belief in Jesus, people taking him at his word. The greatest outcome we could have from last week's youth camp is the youth believing in Jesus and having eternal life. What we ought to desire for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our community is that they believe in Jesus, because it's more important than education or career or pleasure or than chasing dreams, because it's the difference between eternal life and eternal separation from God. We can believe in Jesus because of who he is. We can trust him. And what does this look like? Or we don't have to be like the FBI agent Peter, who had, he kind of just trusted his gut. He went with it. No, we can look to Jesus. But actually, sometimes trusting Jesus' words is hard. Yeah, imagine the royal official. He hears Jesus' words, "Your son will live." Now, he doesn't need to go to a Greek scholar and go, "Well, what did Jesus mean?" Oh, it's very evident what Jesus meant. It meant his son will live. He didn't need to type it into Google going, "What does Jesus mean? Your son will live." But to actually hear those words and act on them like the royal official does, that would be hard, wouldn't it? Yeah, he's made all this effort to come to Jesus, and then Jesus says, "Go, your son will live." Understanding Jesus is not rocket science, but believing in him and what he says can be hard. He knows our hearts. And in fact, he knows it's more than just intellectual assent to believe in him. We actually need to hear Jesus' words and act on them. It's not just a rational decision. As Jesus explains to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we actually need to be made new. We need to be born again. When we believe in Jesus, we are made new. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, enabling us to hear his words and put them into practice. And so today we can believe in Jesus, and he will make us new. And he will give us eternal life. But that is one of the key marks of a Christian, isn't it? Someone who hears Jesus' words and acts on them, just like the royal official does. So where does this belief come from? Well, it comes through hearing. It's interesting that all the Jews following Jesus in Cana, they want to see signs and wonders. But actually, if they want to believe this particular sign of Jesus, they actually have to hear the testimony of someone else. They didn't get to see it firsthand. They only heard about it secondhand. And I assume the news traveled because it's written down for us here in the Gospel of John. And that's how we come to believe today. That's how we come to have life. When we hear someone witness to Jesus about who he is and what he's done. That's why it's so good that we have such ready access to the Gospels of Jesus. Because we can read them. We can see what Jesus did. We can see all the other signs that Jesus did. We can read about his death and resurrection. And we can believe in him. And so, will you believe in Jesus? You can trust him. His words are true. His words match reality. Jesus is someone we can trust. Someone we can believe in and have eternal life. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive our unbelief. Forgive us the times where we are like the people in Cana, seeking after signs and wonders, but not taking Jesus at his word. We ask, Lord, that you would increase our faith, increase our belief, that we would trust Jesus' word, that we would trust him for eternal life, that we would act on Jesus' word and live for him and bring him glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.